Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest of the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. So excited today, I got my longtime friend Jack Wang with us from Longhorn Financial. Just as a reminder, Jack joins the show for informational purposes, should not be construed as financial advice. As always, seek a qualified person before you make any decisions in life. Hey, Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for having me on.
So, Jack, one of the things I've been talking to my friends about, as you know, I'm a part-time professor, and is the concern of September's coming, and will the students come to school? So what happens, Jack, if someone has an award package and they decide that, you know what, I just don't feel safe to live on campus someplace. I'm going to wait and come in January instead. How does that all play out?
Yeah, so totally understand that because it's obviously on everyone's minds, right? If you're the parent of a high school student who's about to go to college, or obviously, like in your case, where you are dealing with the students already in college, but now not sure about the fall semester. So for the students who are in high school about to go to college, students sometimes can ask the schools to defer their admissions decision. And basically all that means is simply saying to the school, hey, listen, thanks for letting me in, but I'm going to take a year off just to, you know, do whatever, right? And can I instead just delay my entry by a year? Now, the policy does vary by school, but generally schools are pretty accommodating for that type of thing. But just keep in mind that the decision to let you in, the admissions decision, that's set, right? If you ask for a deferral, that is set. So you delay a year, you can still go. But the financial aid decision, though, is different. So whatever aid, scholarships, grants, anything else that you got this go-around, that is not guaranteed. So while it might make sense for other reasons to delay for a year, the monetary aspect, it's essentially if you have to just do the whole thing over on the financial side.
Wow, that's a big impact. Now, Jack, how about if they don't defer? What if you're just looking at it, you're like, geez, you know, we're a little nervous to send you to go live on campus someplace. Why don't we look at this next year? How does that play out if they just kind of disappear for a year?
Yeah, if they don't go through the formal process of asking for a deferral and just simply just don't go, right, just – you know, I'm going to take a year off to do whatever and just reevaluate. That, you know, obviously if you don't defer and just sort of tell everybody thanks but no thanks, then you do lose your spot. And so in some ways you do get that do-over, but if you apply, let's say, a year from now, right, or in the fall for the fall, you know, for then the fall of the following year, so fall of 2021 entry, you know, it's hard to say because there hasn't really been this kind of crisis on this scale in recent memory. So on one hand, it could be no problem because there's news about how, you know, up to 20% of kids may take this route and they just won't go or they may switch schools. On the other hand, if a lot of kids, you know, from this year's high school graduating class do this, and then next year's high school graduating class, you know, you might end up having a lot more competition. So you might have got into whatever school this year, but next year there might be a lot more competition. You might not get in, or your chances for things like merit aid are theoretically tougher because of that potential for competition. So it might be harder to win some of those scholarships. It's just, it's hard to know what the right thing is to do this. So if they don't defer and just decide to take a year off, again, that might be right for the family, but, you know, they are taking their chances a little bit in terms of those admission slots and scholarships.
So, Jack, I'm sure you have clients that call you up and go, Jack, what's the right call? Do I send my child? Do I not send my child? What should I do? What's the answer?
Yeah, I mean, I do get this question. I mean, so many people are grappling with this question. Obviously, it's hard to say. Obviously, safety is a concern, right? Depending on where your child might go to school, you know, some states are reopening earlier than others. So who knows? But ultimately, right, we want our kids to go to school. I think most families would fall in this category, but we want our kids to go to school and ultimately get a good job, right? Whether they go on to medical school and become doctors or they get a job after graduation or whatever. But we want them to be productive members of society. And so looking at that through that lens, this actually has a big impact because for kids graduating college now, for kids graduating during a recession, it has a long-term impact on their job prospects, and this has been studied. So the kids who are graduating in 2008 or 2009 as the economy was going to a deep, you know, sort of that recession, you can see now that their professional careers didn't take off nearly as well as the kids who are graduating when the economy is really good, which really, in the case now of this crisis, was only like 6 months ago, right, or a year ago. You know, my own son, who's about to graduate from UMass Amherst, is going through the same thing, and I do worry about him. He's a great kid. He did well in school and things like that, but he's now getting out sort of in this situation. So for parents who have high school kids about to go off college, it's almost, you know, part of this decision, whether you go now or you wait a year, almost depends on what you see 4 years from now, right? If you think that 4 years from now, everything is going to be back to normal and economy is doing well, then you should probably go now. But if 4 years from now you think that there's going to be some longer-term impact and maybe it's going to take a while to come out of this, you know, just economically, then maybe you wait, right? Because, again, it can have a huge, huge impact on what your kid ultimately can do after college.
So maybe we consider hedging our bets by accepting a spot in the school and perhaps taking online classes?
Yeah, I think hedging bets is a good thing. I mean, there's a lot of question right now about, you know, should kids go to college in the fall and pay a ton of money to end up just having to go online, right? And is that worth it? So options such as community colleges are getting a much bigger look or a better look now because it can be a really cost-effective way, and that is sort of hedging the bet. So community colleges generally, you know, are less money anyway, so whether you go in-person or online, what it's going to be, it's going to cost you a little bit less. Get a great option, get some credits out of the way. Generally, states have pretty generous transfer programs. I know here in Massachusetts, the Mass Transfer Program is a great program. New Hampshire also has one as well. And ultimately, if you start out at community college and then transfer to the four-year school, the diploma that you get at the end of 4 years is still from that four-year school, whatever it may be. So it's a great way to sort of hedge bets, like, okay, I'm not sure I want to send my kid far away to school. I'm not sure I want to spend all this money for my kid to just end up doing school from their bedroom online. You know, community college can be a great sort of way to kind of balance those competing priorities.
So, Jack, if the student decides to defer, what can families do financially to help themselves now?
Yeah, if the student decides to defer or not defer but just take the year off anyway, it's really a do-over for families, right? It's a great time, actually, to rethink some priorities and values. And maybe some families really had no problem with the student going far away to school. And now all of a sudden, you know, gee, I really want my kid much closer home. Not that I think this pandemic is going to happen again. Hopefully not. But, you know, in case something goes wrong, they get sick, I really want them closer home. Or maybe the student's now thinking, gee, I really want to stay closer to home. right? Also, a lot of times, you know, parents and students pick colleges really what I see is a lot of ego centric, or at least it's ego driven. Hey, you know, because we want to go that brand name school. So now, is it really worth it? So one of the things that sort of having this do-over is good for is really allows families to have this conversation of sort of figuring out sort of how much they can afford, and then separately how much they're willing to afford, which unfortunately most families don't really have this conversation until they get to award letter time, or even when the first bill arrives, and then they have the conversation and then they're stuck. So the one benefit about sort of waiting is that you get to sort of do this over again, and with the benefit of having seen it already.
So Jack, often students think, or parents think, if the student works, it may impact their financial aid package. Is that true?
Yeah, it can be true if they earn over a certain amount. So for example, on the FAFSA, the federal, you know, the school, the form that the majority of the schools in the country use and rely upon, the student earning limit for this year was $6,840, right? Where if you're working part-time, it's probably high enough to where you're not going to hit that limit. But if you take the year off and end up essentially working full-time, then it's probably quite easy to hit that limit. And so on the FAFSA this year, you can earn $6,840 from the student, that is, and not have it impact aid. But anything above and beyond that would. But at the same time, you know, families want to know if they're going to be eligible for need-based aid. So if you're, you know, if your family makes $1 million a year already and you weren't going to get any need-based aid, then quite frankly, who cares what your kid makes, right, if they take the year off, because the parents make so much money, it doesn't matter anymore. So yes, you know, can kid working and income impact aid? True, but you have to sort of figure out how much of an impact is that really.
So, Jack, is there anything else we didn't consider on this topic?
Yeah, so, you know, because if students do take the year off and parents essentially get a do-over, parents really should take the opportunity to learn the rules of the game, right? The rules of the financial aid game. You know, maybe they didn't get a lot of aid before from the colleges that their son or daughter got accepted to. It would be a great time to sort of understand why, right? Why didn't I get a lot of aid for my kid? And as a result, you can sort of, if you have to play the game again, you can, you know, if you understand why, then you can sort of do something about it, right? And hopefully have a different perspective. And, you know, now that you were maybe staring down the barrel of a gun in terms of the bill, now you understand, okay, now this isn't tenable. I can't do this. Let's make some changes. So parents really should sort of take that time, really understand the rules, get professional help if needed, so that they don't end up with the same result again. They can end up with a better result for them and their kid.
Jack, one last question. So times have changed for a lot of people. They've lost their jobs. So how does this all impact if, you know, hey, this was your package, assuming you were making X dollars and now you're not making any money. Do you have a chance to reapply?
You do. So whether you defer or not, if a parent lost their job, let's say, that is clearly grounds for an appeal, which is simply asking the school to reconsider the aid package in light of the parent losing the job. Some schools will, some schools won't. It's kind of amazing, but some schools won't. So the thing to watch out for in that is that if you are out of work now, you get a lot more aid for this coming year because you're out of work, right? That would obviously be a good thing. But don't necessarily count on that aid lasting, right? So if you're out of work for 3 months and the school says, yeah, we feel bad for you, here's an extra $10,000, well, when you go back to work, remember you have to fill out the financial aid form each year. So when you go back to work and make the income, don't expect that same $10,000 to be there in a future year. So you might have gotten a nice low price first year because of it. It might not be there in future years. So, yeah, be prepared for that.
So, Jack, how can people reach out to you? How can they learn more?
You know, people can always get me on email at jack@longhornfin.com, or people can visit my website, longhornfin.com, or my Facebook page, facebook.com/longhornfin.
Jack, really appreciate you taking the time to call into the show, and as always, thanks for being my friend.
Always a great time. Thanks, Kevin.
Bye now.